Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello, Calvary Church. What a privilege it is to be with you today and be a part of your Summer Speaker Series. I'm Max Barroso, and I am so honored to have the opportunity just to spend a few moments with you to go to the Lord's Word and just maybe see what He will speak to us at this moment. My goodness, I had the privilege a few days ago to just spend time with your pastors, with Pastor Stephen, Pastor Susan, and if you didn't know, you have amazing, amazing people that are leading this house. So thank you so much for your partnership, and I'm one of the members of the War Missions team, and let me tell you, you guys right there out of BC, out of Canada, are making a difference to the ends of the earth. You guys are allowing for the good news of Jesus to be proclaimed and to be able to be established in so many different places around the world. You already know that you are making a difference in Ukraine. You already know that you are making a difference in the work around Eastern Europe through your partnership with Bob and Carol Cave, but also things that you're doing through us in the Awakening, and also how you're supporting many projects, many people-to-people children, many different special initiatives. Thank you for your vision to be able to touch the nations, and thank you, because from right there, from BC, you are making a world of difference, and we just love you guys. And my goodness, I cannot wait to be able to be there and just look towards Whistler and just enjoy just being with y'all, being with your pastors, and being with the amazing, amazing weather of Vancouver, and hopefully this time it will not be cloudy and I can see the mountains. So we are in the middle of your summer series, and my goodness, if you are there in the building, shout out to you, but maybe right now you are next to the water somewhere. Who knows? Maybe you are by Fraser River, or maybe you are there by Crescent Beach or Kitsilano Beach or wherever you like to go to freshen up during the summer. If you were here where I'm at, we have cool names like Lake Texoma or like Grand Lake. We're super regional here in Oklahoma. But this is a time of the year where usually we just kind of look for a stop. We just look for a moment to be able to get away with our family, to be able to be with our children, to be able to just look back towards what has been taking place in this first part of the year. And we just sort of focus and look towards the second half. And how appropriate, this is the Summer Speaker Series, and I want to invite you to come and join me by the waters. So even if you're watching this online and you're right there looking towards Fraser River right there, just stick with me. Don't go fishing yet. Just kind of hang with me, because I want to invite you to come by the waters, but maybe not to fish, or maybe not to swim, maybe not to splash around. Maybe to consider what the Lord could speak to us as we approach Him and as we approach His Word today. So if you will join me in Joshua chapter 3, I would like for us to make our first stop by the waters. And we're going to read a few verses of scripture. We'll begin in verse 5. But the first stop by the waters will be right there in Joshua chapter 3. Because Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Right there, how amazing is that? To know when God is speaking to you, and He's letting you know, hey, I'm getting ready to do something amazing. So Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And then the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go stand in the river. So Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the word of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that He will certainly drive out before you who? The Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now pay attention to the details. Then choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand on a heap. So then the people brought from camp to cross Jordan, the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant, Now, verse 15. The Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet, as soon as the priest who carried the ark and reached all the Jordan and their foot touched the water's edge, the waters from upstream stopped flowing. So, Lord Jesus, thank you because you have invited us this morning in the middle of our summer series to make a stop and come to the waters. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to us clearly, that at this very moment, your Holy Spirit will supernaturally just flood the room where we're in, and that you will speak to us like only you can. Holy Spirit, there is a need amongst us. As we hear your word, may you move, may you touch, may you do what only you can do, in us and through us. In your name, amen. So, here we're coming to a very defining point in the history of Israel. You have to remember that they had been here before. In fact, if you remember, when they were with Moses and they had gotten to this very place, to the edge of the Jordan, this happened about 40 years earlier when they got to this place and the Lord is ready to give them the land, and Moses sends the spies across the waters and they scout the land and two come up with a great report and they say, yes, this is it. This is the moment. This is the time. This is what we're waiting for. 400 years in Egypt have led up to this point where we are about to go and take possession of what is rightfully ours. But then people, man, they were not about what God was saying, but they were about their doubts and their concerns and their questions. And they say, the land is good, but it's packed full of giants. So they murmured and they resented that God had brought them to this place, but it was going to require some work. So they chose to go back. And we know that they circled and circled and circled and circled until an entire generation was gone. But now they get a second chance. Now they get a second turn at bat. Now they get an opportunity to be able to take position and step into what God is calling them to be. However, you see, many of us find ourselves perhaps like the Israelites, where we're saying, well, God spoke to me about certain things a long time ago, and God had gave me some promises, and God has done certain things in my life, and I am committed to be who God called me to be. But maybe you start looking around and you realize I've been circling and circling and circling, and time after time after time, all you keep seeing is the dryness of the desert, and you're struggling to step into what God is calling you to do. I am so glad that you're still believing God's promises for your life, because today I'm inviting you to come back to the water. Come back to the place where maybe at some point you doubted or you questioned God, or you felt that the circumstances were not all they needed to be, and you maybe thought that it was gone. Man, God can give you back what you thought you lost if you're willing to come back to the waters, but it will require a certain degree of commitment from you and me. You see, what was happening at this moment is not just that they were trying to go to the other side, but the environment and the circumstances were at its worst. You see, they were not trying to cross the Jordan when it was, you know, at its narrowest point. And they were not trying to cross the Jordan when it was easy and when it was convenient. This was the absolute worst time of the year to try to go to the other side. This was when it was completely flooded. So it's not just that you're trying to get across. You're trying to get across at the craziest times. Isn't it awesome that God's power at work in our lives, if we're willing to believe Him and to commit to the process that He wants to bring us to, is not subject to our environment. What surrounds you doesn't determine God's capacity to deliver. But if at this moment you're willing to say, God, I am willing to come down to the water and to commit to what you have promised to me, and I am going to walk it out. It could be flooded. It could be the worst time. It could be absolutely crazy at work, at home, or here and there. But if you're willing to grab God's word, take hold of it and say, I believe your word is good for me, whether it be flooded or not, I know I can get across. So the first thing that you need to do if you're willing to commit to God's presence for your life is stop looking at what surrounds you and begin to look at the God who invited you to the waters. God's power is not limited by your or my environment. You and I are the ones who can limit God's power by simply walking away afraid of our circumstances instead of believing the sovereignty of our God, whose promise is secure. So in this commitment, the first thing is stop looking around. The second thing is, it may cost you something. You may have to take a risk. You see, I can imagine the heartbeat just pulsing in the heart of the Levites when Joshua comes to them and say, hey guys, how this is going to go down is you have to go and grab the single thing that is most precious to us. You're going to have to go and grab the Ark of the Covenant. You're going to have to go and grab the single defining object upon which we wrap our identity, that which gives us value, that upon which we hang our hat of our success and say, man, we are all that and the bag of chips. You are going to have to grab precisely that, and you're going to have to be willing to risk that to be who God called you to be. You see, I can imagine the Levite saying, like, did we hear him right? Does he really want us to go and grab the Ark of the Covenant and risk it all in this, I don't know, mission for folly? Like, you see, sometimes we're good with what God is saying, and sometimes we're good with the first step, and sometimes we're good and we're amening and shouting down and all about God, just like, wow, yes, God can do it. And then God says, okay, it's going to cost you something. Okay, you're going to have to make some changes. Okay, you're going to have to allow for me to grab and deal and work and touch that area upon which you want to keep me sort of out. That's exactly where I want to move. I say, God, I don't know about that. Do you know how long I worked to get to this point? God, do you know how long I worked to establish my identity and to establish my reputation? Like, do you really want me to risk that? God, do you know how hard it has been for me to, like, just kind of get to this place in this relationship or get to this place in this? Like, are you really asking me to risk that with no guarantees? Are you really asking me not just to ignore the flood, but also grab what's most valuable and risk it? You see, many of us are asking for God to turn things around. Many of us are wanting for God's promises to be yes and amen in our lives. Many of us are really hoping that God will move and do something supernatural at work or at home or in our community. But we're cool with God doing it from afar, but we struggle with God doing it through us, if it may cost us something. You see, in this process of commitment, the Israelites needed to not only overlook their surroundings, but also be willing to grab that which was more precious, most precious, the Ark of the Covenant, and put it on the shoulders and go with it. And then it gets even crazier. You see, God did not stop the flood before they got in it. God wanted for them to step in it, and then he will move. You see, many times we assume a bit of a passive position. We assume a bit of a stance where, like, okay, if God does that, then I'll move. Or if God does this, then I will operate. Or if God just sort of, like, opens and parts the waters, then I'm going to go through. Where here, unlike he did it in the past, remember, with Exodus, with Moses, he parted the waters and then they walked through. Here, God is saying, no, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing something different. That was about deliverance. This is about possession. That was about saving you from something. This is about you moving towards something. And if you want for me to go with you towards the promise that I'm giving you, you're going to have to activate and you're going to have to step in. Don't wait for me to do what is on you to do. I'm the God of the impossible. I'm not the God of the possible. You are to do what is possible for me to do the impossible. So if you believe in the promise that I've given you, be willing to step in it. Be willing to get your feet wet. Be willing to go ahead and grab what you have and risk it, believing that God will do it. You see, many times we forget the order of how God certain things. He said, signs and wonders will follow those who believe. For him to follow, you have to move first. Some of us are wanting to see the supernatural, and then we're activating the natural, where it is time for a generation to understand, man, if I'm committed to God's plan and God's promise for my life, I'm willing to go and forgo the environment, believing that He will do it. I will grab the most precious thing that I have, just put it at His feet, and step into the flood, knowing that He will move on our behalf. And that's how God did it. And they step in. They step to the other side. And it led into the conquest. And it led into a season of victory. And Israel was able to establish itself in the land where honey and milk flow, believing, but committing to God's process. So I'm inviting you to the waters right now. Some of us who know God's promises, some of us who know what God has said to us, and some of us who have been trying to just sort of figure out what is God doing in our lives. I'm saying, let's come to the waters in the middle of this summer speaker series. Come on, not just to Fraser River, not just to the cool beach. I'm asking you to come near the Jordan and say, God, I want to commit to what you're asking me. I have the second half of this year ahead of me, and I am believing that you can do exceedingly and abundantly more than you can think or ask or imagine, and your power is at work in me, so I want it, and I want it all, because you can do more, so I'm gonna commit. So that's the first stop. The first stop was a stop of commitment, and I wanna invite you to go a little bit further. And just kind of grab your Bible and flip some pages forward and come with me to 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 to 14. When here we find Elijah and Elisha and a transition point. The first stop by the waters was a stop of commitment. Here is not just about commitment. Here is a stop of consecration. Let me tell you what I mean by that. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I'm being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried. And he said, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. And he took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. And then he took that cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other side, and Elisha went over. In the first talk, we spoke a little bit about commitment. Here we're coming to the waters in the same river, the same location, the River Jordan. But here was a defining moment, because you see, there was a generation that the baton was being handed. Elisha has worked with Elijah and walked with him and learned from him. And he knew that God was up to something. And this was the moment where he needed to be able to go ahead and just be who God had called him to be. But to understand this moment, you have to understand the journey. You have to understand how Elisha got to this point. Because Elijah walked up to him and just, you know, gently touch him with his cloak early on. He just kind of passed by him, and his cloak just sort of touched him. And he knew that something was different. He knew that God was up to something in his life. He knew that God was calling him to not just be who he was, but to be able to consecrate himself, to set himself aside, to be able to live a life of holiness. What do we mean by holiness? Set aside, unique, particular, peculiar, understanding that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He walks away from his inheritance. He kills the oxen. He breaks the yoke, lights him on fire, feeds his family. Basically, what he was saying is, I'm foregoing my inheritance. There is no coming back. I am fully consecrating myself, setting myself aside, just hitching my wagon to the destiny that God has for me. And he journeys with Elijah onward, and he watched him. He watched him resurrect the dead. He watched him just challenge the status quo of the era. He watched him being able to be the oracle of God that was just declaring his word and his principles. And Elijah was powerful, but his time was coming to a close. But now it was on the next folk. Now it was on Elisha. Now the challenge was on him. And he had to make a determination. Am I going to be like the 50 guys who also knew what was happening today, but they're standing back next to the shore, watching the fireworks and just kind of stay back at a safe distance of what God is doing? Or am I going to commit myself to be right there in the eye of the hurricane, committed and also consecrated to be who God has called me to be? You see, he needed to make some decisions, because he needed to first understand, man, the power of God upon my life is not just for games and is not just for looks. God is trying to do something this generation, and I get to be a part of it. So as he comes to the waters and he sees the whirlwind of fire and he sees Elijah being taken up, the cloak, the very same cloak that years earlier had touched him, now is laying there on the ground. And he had to make some choices. And we know that he stripped his cloak. He recognizes that this is from that season, but God is doing something new. And he grabs the cloak of Elijah and recognizes, man, God is doing a new thing. But then as he turns around and he's facing the waters again, that's the moment that defined this next season. You see, he could have looked down the stream, found a safe passage across the river, and just gone with the cloak of Elijah, but it would have been nothing but a fashion show. It would have been nothing but just a symbol of something that God had sort of done, but it was not actually walking it out. You see, if you have made a commitment with God and you're saying, God, today things will change in my life, it's time for you to grab what God has entrusted you with and the power that he has placed upon your life, and not just wear it like a cool accessory, but actually grab it and look at the waters in front of you and part them and say, where is my God? Right here, moving, acting, operating on my behalf. And today, in this hour, in this moment, with everything that is happening in culture and in society and in the turmoil, if you look around British Columbia, if you look around Surrey, you look around Vancouver, you can see that God is looking for people like you. God is looking for people like me that will be willing to not only just wear our faith and wear what God has done in our life like an object of fashion and just something that goes with the fads of the trends, but rather to be able to be cloaked with the power that God has entrusted his children to be able to speak to this culture, to be able to speak to the issues, to be able to speak to society, and to be able to say, my God is here and operating and moving through me, and he has planted me in this place, and I am committed to the process, and I am willing to strike what is right in front of me and part the waters, because God has a plan and a purpose, and I get to be a part of it. You see, you still have the second half of the year remaining, and right now, just forget about the scoreboard on the first half. Whatever it is, you may be winning, you may be tied, you may be losing. I just want to say, go Canucks. But what I am saying to you is, this is your opportunity to be able to make a determination that what God has placed before you, you're not just going to leave it there on the ground, but rather you came to the waters, you have seen his power, you know that he's moving, and you're willing to grab it, clothe yourself with it, and say, I am here for it. I am ready to strike. God, thank you for the opportunity to be light and salt at my workplace. Thank you for the opportunity to speak hope and healing to my family. Thank you for that university that you have placed me right there to be able to be an advocate for truth, to be able to be an advocate of good news. Lord, thank you because you allow me to be alive today, serving you, cloaked with what you have given me, because you are who you say you are, and you're doing what you say you are doing. So the first thing that we talked about coming to the waters is commitment. And then the second thing we talked about is consecration. You see, being a holy people sometimes can be so misunderstood. It's not just about morality and choices and where I come from, buns and all those. No. Being a holy people simply means being a people that understand that God has set you aside, has chosen you in this time, in this hour, for a very unique and peculiar purpose. God intends to use you, and God intends to use you fully. That's why He's giving you an opportunity to pick up that identity that He has entrusted you with and say, I get it. I've been set aside. I'm going to wear it. I'm going to walk on it. And maybe you're saying, okay, Max, you're talking about, you know, heavy stuff. You're talking about commitment. I'm here putting some sun lotion, getting ready to go out to the beach, and you're saying, like, commitment, what were you talking about? Man, there is no better time than now, when we're having an opportunity to be able to reset our focus, to be able to look onwards, and to be able to say, God, I want to be a part of what you're saying. And you say, Max, you know, it's summer. You're talking about consecration. This is more like around Easter type of time, man. At Easter, you heard about someone that was so committed and so set aside that laid his down life for you and for me. And he made a way for you and I to be all that he has called us to be. Yet you had about a 3 months window of time to make a determination of how are we going to walk out that covenant that he made with you and I, that invitation for life and life more abundantly. And today, at this moment, God is doing such an amazing work in Calvary. God is doing so many things right there at your church, and you have given an opportunity to be able to be a place of hope and to be able to be people of promise right there in Canada, right there in British Columbia, right there in Surrey, in Vancouver. You are it. The answers that God has for Canada are right there in the room right now with you. Look around. You're it. If God wanted somebody else to use in this hour in that community, He would have brought somebody else into the room, but He didn't. He brought you. You are it. You are God's plan A for your community. And He is inviting you to stop looking at the environment and to say, it could be an absolute flood, yet if you are willing to walk with me, if you're willing to grab what I've entrusted you with, and you're willing to step in it, I can make it happen. If you're willing to go ahead and not just look at forms and fashions, but just pick up what I'm giving you and be clothed with my power and just strike at the right moment, you will see His faithfulness displayed in your life. In a practical sense, what does this mean? Moms, dads, let's come home and not just cross our fingers and hope that Jesus will move at home. Let's bring Him in. Let's talk to our children about Christ. Let's go ahead and invite them to the table. Let's go ahead and model for them what following Jesus looks like. Husbands, wives, let's love one another and just allow for His grace and His Holy Spirit to be able to move us forward in that direction. As we're going to the workplace, let's believe that God will part the waters and that He will use you and He will use me to be salt and light in our community. As we're going to study and the semester starts soon, let's understand that you have been given the authority from up high to be able to strike into a crazy system with truth and love and grace and mercy. And as we do together to the ends of the earth, let's continue to believe that no matter how crazy it gets out there, God has given us in His kingdom an opportunity to continue to build places of hope and be able to continue to be people of promise where in Ukraine, in South Sudan, in South America, in South Africa, in Southeast Asia, to the ends of the earth. You and I are invited this morning to come to the waters and to commit to be who God has called us to be, and to be able to consecrate ourselves to do what He has called us to do from today until Jesus comes in His name. So Jesus, I just thank you for the family at Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that you're doing that are amazing in this hour, in this house. Thank you for Pastor Susan. Thank you for Pastor Stephen. Thank you, Lord, for the entire team and all of those who are gathered here saying, yes, I am your plan A, Lord, for my community. May your Holy Spirit come upon us. May we commit and consecrate ourselves to be all that you have called us to be. And this summer, we come to the waters, not just to be refreshed, but we come to the waters saying, I am here for it, to be all that you have called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We love you all. Be blessed.